Welcome back to the Deadology Podcast from Pencil Hill Studio, Annapolis, New York. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. This is Season 2, Episode 39 of the podcast. Today is November 23rd, 2024. And by the time I finish uploading the podcast, it will be November 24th, which brings us to the 52nd anniversary of an amazing Grateful Dead show from Dallas. That was November 24th, 1972. And this will be the third volume in the Underrated Gem series. I haven't done an Underrated Gem in a while, probably almost a year. But this show definitely fits the bill as being underrated. Coming back to join us on the podcast this week, very happy to have Doug Schmell back. And we're going to get into all the details of this Dallas show. But there's two simple reasons why this is an underrated show. First, there wasn't a lot of circulating tapes of, there was maybe one audience, one soundboard. To this day, if you look on the ReListen app or the Internet Archive, only like two versions of this show. So it never got heavily circulated. And for a 1972 show, it's short. So all the great shows from 72 are 3+ hours. This one is well under 3 hours, but there's some highlights here that are just amazing. And I'd suggest staying all the way through the podcast because most of the powerhouse highlights of this show are at the very end. And hey, we got Doug with us. I did the Zoom call with him earlier in the day, and we really dig into the show, so no need for me to babble on. Let's go to that Zoom call with Doug. All right. Hey, welcome. We're going to welcome back to the Deadology Podcast our premier guest. He makes a monthly appearance. We didn't get him in October, but he's been here every month before that. Mr. Doug Schmell. Welcome back, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Howie? It's great to be here. I hope everybody out there is having a happy holiday season. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yeah, and they had a happy Thanksgiving down in Dallas, man, because the show we're going to talk about tonight is Dallas Municipal Auditorium, November 24th, 1972. The anniversary is coming up, and Doug, we were going through Doug withdrawals, but we got him back. Nice to have you back, man, and this is this is the guy who turned me on to the Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away, which is one of the best. I was asking you about great versions when I was doing Deadology Volume 2, and you pointed that out to me. I got to give you full credit. I listened to it. I'm like, this is nuts. So I really didn't know the show that well, so I figured it's a very cool show to review. So let's do it, man.
It's a very, very underrated show, Howie. Like, if you look on the Heady version, like, it blows my mind. You know, people don't know it, which is why it doesn't get votes on a lot of songs. The Going Down the Road, Feeling Bad, to me is one of the best ones, easily in the top five they've ever done. And it's got three votes, like, as to being the best. So, look, that's not people's fault. When you don't know something, you can't listen to it because it's so obscure and it's not in wide circulation. You know, people aren't going to know, but I got to thank you. You're the one who kind of turned me on to this show, even though, you know, unwittingly, because when you had went digital and then you gave me all your discs, I went through 1972 and I remember listening to the show for the first time probably 10 years ago or so on a drive over from where I live in West Palm Beach to Marco Island in Florida. It's about a 2-hour ride. And I noticed it was only two discs. So I was like, wow, I hope I'm not missing the third disc and, you know, a big Dark Store or other one jam. Turns out there is no Dark Star Other One Jam. It's a two-disc show. So it kind of was perfect for my ride to Marco. And I couldn't believe what I was listening to on the ride there. Everything is so hot. It's an incredible show. Incredible.
Yeah, definitely different. It's not as long, but it's everything's right to the point. And they overflow with rock and roll and blues on this, man. So it's a great show. Very different, unusual for 1972. Why don't you kick it off, talk about some of the songs in the first set as we get rolling.
Yeah, so just so people know that this is part of an unbelievable tour, you know. It's one of my favorite tours, you know. After Europe, which to me is the greatest tour they've ever done, you got that incredible tour You got August 72 with some unbelievable shows. September 72 has some of the greatest shows ever. And then, they hit this tour that kind of starts in the Winterland on October 9th. And then you have these shows at the Fox Theater that they released as part of a box set that are incredible.
Yeah, those are
And they
great.
continue on. And I'll tell you, these five shows, there's five shows from Texas, two in the Hafiz Pavilions in Houston, one show in Austin, one show in Dallas, and one show in San Antonio, which comprises, this Texas stop on this tour, would be the most perfect release for a box set by Rhino. And I hope David Lemieux is listening because those five shows would really make for one of the best box sets they've ever done because every show is incredible. Every show also features an amazing playing in the band. Every show, all five
Yeah,
Texas shows.
the
And
November
they're,
18th one is
yeah,
ridiculous.
18th is widely popular.
Yeah.
Everybody swears by it. It is one of the best, if not, top three, easily top five. But this one somehow gets obscured and underrated. So, just going with the show, they open up with Don't Ease Me In, which should tell you something. They're definitely not following a tried and true tradition. Of opening up with Bertha, opening up with some other songs like Promised Land that they were doing at this time. It's great. Opening up to me with Don't Ease Me In is awesome. I love it. And
Yeah.
there's a couple of sound problems, very minor in the beginning, but then, and it's a great Don't Ease, not the longest, but you could tell, they're into it, It's
Yeah,
cowboy rock and roll,
I
rock
agree with
and
that.
roll.
That's definitely like a theme. They didn't go with the usual. There's like a lot of different little mixes in here and songs out of place. So,
Absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely, as you'll see. So then you got, after the Don't Ease, you got Me and My Uncle, nice spot second. It's a great version, nice, straight to the point. You got a Brown Eyed Women after that, which is my so pretty standard, even though the song placement's a little different. But with the fourth song, they really tell you that they mean business. And that fourth song was Black Throated Wind. And as you know, Howie, I've spoken about this Black Throated Wind. To me, it's the best one by far up to that point in time,
Yeah.
and still one of the best ones they've ever done. It's incredible.
Yeah. Garcia definitely goes off. There's a great tone to his guitar, man. You could just hear it. That's one thing about these Texas shows that,
Correct.
he's playing like the alligator. It's a guitar used at all these, but there's just something about the tone of his playing at these Texas shows that's incredible.
I
Awesome,
agree. It really
Black Throated
starts.
Wind.
Yeah, that Black Throated Wind. Maybe the best one ever, as I've said, is San Diego, 11-14-73.
No
But
doubt.
this one's way, way up there. It's incredible. Especially the song had only been in the rotation really since the beginning of the year. I believe they probably started doing either at the end of 71 or in the beginning of 72 at the Academy of Music show. So it
Yeah.
really matured at this point, into a blazing hot song. I listened to it twice, in preparation for this interview, and I just couldn't believe how hot Jerry is. It's just amazing. And then in the fifth slot, you get a Bertha, which, goes to with your theme of how they mix things up here. They're not going, by a real a rigid or rigorous, schedule or, song list. It's amazing. They switch things up. The Bertha's great,
Yeah,
What a great
it's cool. Definitely, it was cool hearing that in the fifth spot, man. Because you get that at fifth spot, you're thinking Loser, Tennessee Jets, something
Right.
standard. You know what's
All
coming,
great
and
songs,
then all of a
but
sudden Bertha hits you. So it's
Bertha,
just
right. Those
gives,
notes of Bertha come
gives.
out of nowhere.
Yeah, every Grateful Dead show is an original, but this one really kind of steps out and gives you that feel of they wanted to mix things up and carry on, my friend.
Yeah, El Paso, a beautiful God.
Oh yeah.
Such an underrated song, El Paso. I get it. We've heard so many El Pasos. I believe it in 1973, I think El Paso was the most, featured, the most played
Number
song.
one song of
Yeah, number one
the
song, 73. 72, they played a lot. But I love listening to Jerry's pecking leads, galloping along with the theme of the song, with the horseback riding. And it's just amazing. And I listened to it twice also, and I just couldn't believe he's just hitting some great notes. I
Yeah.
love it when you're listening to Bobby and underneath, Jerry's just hitting those beautiful notes. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I love those 72 El Pasos,
Yeah, no, great Marty Robbins song. And Jerry just this one really stood out because he's like he was more into it than Weir. This is a Weir song, but
Exactly,
you could just hear
exactly.
Jerry, he was just picking away like crazy. It's like he was doing the lead singing with his picking. It was this one
Yeah.
really stood out, very cool.
1972 to me is the year for El Paso. Look, As you guys know, I've said it before, to me, 1972 is the best year by far. Now, there's some other great years. 73 to me is right up there, but 72, so many songs came to fruition and matured to the point where they were, tour de forces, and El Paso is a, a small song, it's a cover song, but boy, did they knock it out of the park. And then in the sixth, the seventh spot, there's Deal. And Deal, there's a couple of vocal flubs, and I love it. And you hear Garcia say woo after he screws up one of the lyrics, and he doesn't continue with the lyric, even though he probably could have gotten his bearings together. He said, I forgot which one, the second part of the lyric. No, actually the first. I've been gambling hereabouts for so many, if you I told you how many, what went down, it would burn off all, your little ears. He doesn't get through that. He realizes he's about to fuck up, so he goes woo. And then he hits these unbelievable notes to start the jam portion of the song. It's great. So that doesn't detract for me at all,
It's great, and his singing is very emphatic on this night. He's really into it. Like the Sugar Ree is pretty incredible the way he sings. By the way, I'm throwing this out there. I don't know if like the Garcia wore like this skeleton. I think they called it a nudie suit. I'm
Oh,
not sure.
yeah.
Is this the show or were these the
Well,
shows or?
that was during Europe 72 that I think they purchased them or they got them. Now, it's possible that this was the show he wore them at, but
Yeah, I should have checked it before I brought it up. I think maybe he might have worn this during the Texas, but yeah, carry on. I'll double check
yeah, because
when
that's cool to know. But and then you got Beat It On Down the Line again, another song, pretty much just
a
standard
song.
in the first set of these years. But boy, it's funny. I love Beat It On Down the Line, especially when it started getting hot, which, believe it or not, the first time it really extended was on April 7, 72, the first show of the Europe 72 tour, where Jerry goes absolutely ballistic. People may not know that, but I'm telling you guys out there, if you want to hear an unbelievable romping solo, listen to 4-7-72. The Beat It On Down the Line from the first set is unreal.
Yeah,
And to me, that kind of just started, this series of Beat It On Down where they were so hot. Now, Jerry did three rounds of the jam in that show. And then usually going forward in 72, they do two jams, two rounds of the jam. This one, there's one round by Jerry and then a nice little solo by
Keith,
Keith.
yeah.
So they started doing that later on in
Hey,
72.
one funny thing you mentioned with the not funny, but it's very, very deadly serious, that April 7th show. It gets overshadowed by rightfully by April 8th because April
Oh
8th
my
is
God.
incredible. But
I'm
April
glad you
7th
mentioned that,
is.
Howie. I listened to that show within the past 2 weeks on my trip to Sarasota, and I was blown away how incredible that April 7th show is. I never listened to it to the same as these other shows we've talked about already, but that show is phenomenal. The first set is incredible. All the songs are really hot. The second set, trucking, other
Yeah,
one,
nuts.
Paso,
Sugar
back into
Mag,
other one, into
even.
Wharf Rat is unbelievable. It blew my mind. I was like, how could I have kind of missed it when you got Rotterdam and you got Frankfurt and you got Hamburg and you got Bickershaw? That's how. So,
Yeah.
an apology to people who love that show that I might have underrated it. It's incredible.
Yeah, so
I
it's
listened
because
to it
April 8th. We
twice.
could blame it on April 8th because that's such
Right,
a revered
correct.
show.
The
And
magnitude of April 8th, you're
seventh
right,
is in the
overshadows
shadows.
the,
Yeah.
yeah,
But
overshadowed the
great
seventh.
show.
Isn't
You
that
brought it up,
great?
so I just had to chime in how much I
Oh
love that
yeah,
show.
it's that show's phenomenal. So you could just see the momentum of 72, the way they were just carrying themselves and embracing, the music. And that term, the music plays the band, that really started in 72, I think,
You really you can't, they couldn't play any better, so they created new songs. They brought out all these great songs, Eyes of the World, Terrapin, Help on the Way, so they
Correct.
move
All these new
forward.
songs,
You
correct.
can't play any better than the Grateful Dead played in 72. That's,
No band, right. No band was ever hotter or tighter. In the moment. So continuing on with the set, you got this Tennessee Jet. It's funny, Howie. So on the CD that you made, that for me, that I got from you years ago, that turned me onto the show, the Tennessee Jet is not on it. It's on the archive, release, so I could listen to it, and I do with my headphone. There, those Tennessee Jets from 72. Oh my God, here's another song. Now, to be fair, they did start coming. Tennessee Jet came on its own when they started playing that song. I guess that was at the end of 71. Was the first Tennessee Jed
The October 19th.
10/19/71 at the Northrop,
Keith's first
big
show brought a
Keith's
lot of
first
good
show?
stuff.
Yeah. And that song became a great tour de force right away. I mean, there's some great versions. Listen to the one from 11/7, is it 11/8? 11/7/71 from Harding Theater. Phenomenal. Oh my God, that show was phenomenal, but that Tennessee Jed. So right away, Tennessee Jed, and this version's no different. They're great, just like the Europe 72 versions. They kept the momentum going towards the end of 72. And then you get a Jack Straw. I mean, it's just, again, kind of songs that are a little out of place. Jack Straw would normally be a little earlier in the set or possibly at the beginning of the second set. And then here, continuing with that theme, you got a Sugar Ree with the 10th spot, the penultimate song in the set, a great Sugar Ree. I listened to that twice too, because Jerry's singing, as you said, is emphatic. It's awesome. And that sets up for the ending of the first set with one of the greatest by far playing in the bands you will ever hear. And you guys listening out here to this podcast, if you don't know that playing the band, I'm kind of envious of you because you'll go listen to it and it'll blow your mind. Blow your mind. There are so many different moments, peaks, valleys, themes within this 20-minute version that'll blow your mind. It is a top five, probably a top three version by far. It's that hot. And Al, you and I have talked about that for years. We knew this playing in the band like right away. It's unbelievable.
For play 25 minute 25 great minutes. If you fill up 25 minutes of playing in the band, you got a great version there. And I love these versions that are in the 20 25 minute range from 72. This is the peak of playing in the band.
Correct.
And like as you stated, there's so many different twists and segments, little segments, man. It's like, Garcia will be ripping along and it's incredible. And then there'll be like this little shift and then it starts up again. And
Correct.
this one really has like a lot of unique. And this, like, I think the big theme of this show is like so much bluesy playing, and
Correct.
you could hear it very much in this play in the band. I'm going to play one of those little segments right in the middle for you right now. So you guys get a little taste of what we're talking about. Enjoy. Thank you. All right, so that's part of what there's like five or six segments like that in there. It's incredible.
It's amazing. When I was listening to it, Howie, both in my car and when I was taking a walk around the neighborhood, I've listened to it, two and a half, three times in preparation for the interview. I couldn't believe it. At the 6 minute mark, I'm looking as this Jerry goes nuts. At the 8 minute mark, at the 10 minute mark, there was a different theme. At the 12 minute mark, I'm like, oh my God, this is a, at the 14 minute mark. And then finally, at the 16 minute mark, he closes it off with this phenomenal jam. And you're right, there's so many different twists and turns. And even the sound of his guitar changes from bluesy, from rambunctious rock to aggressive. It's just unbelievable how he can do that. Not even within the structure of the song itself, you know, his attacks, but the actual sound of his guitar. It's amazing.
These Texas shows have such a great tone on his guitar, whatever he was doing. And one other thing I thought of when I'm listening to this, man. So you're in the audience, you're hearing all these great songs, you're enjoying yourself. Then they throw this playing in the band at you. It's just like, we hear this stuff all the time and it blows us away. You're out there in the audience, man. It's just like 18 minutes of just pure jamming that which has never been heard before in the world, anything like it, man.
Yeah.
The only thing that might even be close is like a Miles Davis concert at this point.
Right, but, right. 22-year-old, you're 22, you hear the Dead are coming to Dallas, at the Municipal Auditorium. Hey, Phil. Hey, Frankie, Steve, you want to go see the Grateful Dead? I hear they're a great band. You guys know them. Yeah, Friend of the Devil, Casey Jones, Yeah, let's go. And then nobody would be, prepared for this kind of attack. Could you imagine just the audience, their impressions, their feelings, their reaction after this playing in the band when they, basically close the set? We're going to take a short break. Your mind must have been blown, literally. Now, I know how I felt at my first show after that Jack Straw, after the Althea Jack Straw. I got on the bus. I knew at that moment this is what I was hoping for, a band that I could call my own. They blew me away. But to see a playing in the band like this for 20 minutes and not one second of it is boring, I just can't imagine how my mind, would have been blown, how my reaction would have been. That's a great point, Jay.
We've never been inside of turbulence like that before, man.
Right. Nobody was prepared for something like that. It's incredible. There's no warning, Hey, we're going to end the first set. We're playing the band. So you people may want to bring headphones, earplugs. You people may not want to stay for the end of the first set because it may blow your mind. Yeah. So it's just unbelievable. The rock and roll. And I love the fact, this show will continue. We'll talk about the second set, but a perfect 11-song first set. Not too long, but everything is played superbly. And the theme of this whole show, especially the second set, is rock and roll. There really isn't any minor moments of dissonance, minor moments of, where they're trying to figure out where they're going next. It's straight rock and roll attack right in your face. A perfect show to turn on to a Grateful Dead new.
That's my
thought. Somebody
on this
who
show
doesn't
too.
Like or know their music, this is a perfect show.
And it also seemed to me like one thought I had was like there's great bluesmen sitting on the side, like maybe Buddy Guy and Freddie King, and Garcia's got to impress them. They're not going to do their usual thing. They're just going to be straight to the point, but jam like crazy. And there's such a bluesy overtone to a lot of these songs. One of a kind show, not the best of 72, but just such a unique show in a year that gives us so much.
Right, right. So, the year that keeps on giving. It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Now, 52 years later, we're still savoring this stuff. It's just unbelievable how there wasn't more press, more newspaper articles. I'm sure there were, but can you imagine? I'm a beat writer, for a local Dallas newspaper. I would have been, oh my God, I just saw the greatest concert I've ever seen. The Grateful Dead, they were incredible. You guys got to see this band. They just rip it apart, straight rock and roll.
One quick Dallas fact, the Beatles played this Dallas Municipal Auditorium on September 18, 64. There's not a lot of venues that hosted both the Grateful Dead and the Beatles.
So. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, 8 years apart. That's incredible.
Hey, so, get us going on set two, please.
Yeah, I love it. They open up the second set with China Cat and I Know You Rider. I love that combination. Only problem with it is China Cat's great. You could tell it's hot as hell, but there's a cut. Minor cut, like Bobby's solo into then Jerry. So you can tell because they the part after it gets cut, Jerry's hitting these beautiful notes, so you can tell he was steamrolling, and it goes into a really incredible writer. So very rare in the sense they were probably more apt to open up a second set in 1973 with China Cat, until I Know You Right, or even end the first set. But this is great. It's one of the rarer, times that they would open up the second set with China Cat Rider. And it's just great going with the theme of the show. Everything's in a different place. Everything is a surprise. Everything is
It's
played
a shame. It's a shame we missed
perfectly.
those few notes in the cat because it makes it seem like it's not a really hot cat in there. Garcia could have hit something that we
Oh my
didn't
God, you can
hear.
tell. Because right where it picks off after the cut, he's in the middle of this amazing, amazing, little jam before they go into Rider. It's great. There's a minute and change left over when he, and you can just tell that he was hitting these great notes, that they were into it. So a great second set opener, and the cut, it sucks a little, but it doesn't kill it. And then Howie, one of the best I've ever heard. I've listened to the third song, the second set is Box of Rain. I listened to it at least two times. Again, in preparation for this interview, and it is perfect.
It
It
is
is a
good.
perfect. There's one minor vocal flub by Phil, but it's incredible. Jerry's notes in this are incredible. Phil's singing is incredible in this. It's one of the best. Look, who ranks Box of Rains? But it's one of the best ones I've ever heard. A
Yeah,
lot of people will swear by the ones from '73. They're a little more bouncy. Obviously, the song matured. They had been doing it at this point, for a year and a half by '73. But this one is probably, to me, the best one they ever done by far up till this point.
I think for some reason this is jumping into my mind. I think October 9th, 72 was the first Box of Rain. I could be wrong, but I think that was the first one.
Yeah, that's from the Winterland. Yeah.
And then it just this one is great. Donna's singing on it, like adds a nice touch. She obviously wasn't on the studio version, and yeah, just
Right.
a very cool Box of Rain. And then the gloves come off. Like so far, show's been pretty great, but the gloves come off right here as we go to trucking.
Oh my God, yeah, the fourth song. Yeah, again, fourth song of the second set, a standalone Truckin'. Now, back then, you look at the set list from the other shows, I think the 18th was similar to this. Look, there are shows with No Dark Star, another one, and they're great shows. 10, 17, 72 from St. Louis comes to mind, the Ford Theater, which is 10, 30, 72. That's in Detroit, is another show with No Dark Star or other one, also a great show. This one, it's just amazing that these shows where they didn't have that long jam suite still deliver the goods. And I'll tell you, this one with the standalone Truckin', this Truckin' is one of the best ones they've ever done. It really is. There's something about it. Jerry does the thing I was talking about in the playing the band where he actually, within the middle of the jam, changes the sound and tone of his guitar. It's amazing. He's hitting these staccato type notes. And I'm thinking, I listened to this. This was the last song I listened to. This. And then I heard the Casey Jones and the Sugar Magnolia right after lunch, right before we had this interview. And I'll tell you, I was just amazed. That was the third time I've listened to this Truckin' within the past 3 days, 3.5 days. I started Wednesday. And it's phenomenal. It's 12 and a half minutes of just pure bliss, Howie. Unbelievable. Singing's great. No vocal flub, they get right into it, and boy, Jerry just goes for the jugular right away. It's one of the best truckins, and it's a standalone. To me, sometimes you got to appreciate a standalone truckin.
Once again, this show has that unique flow where they're not doing what you expect. They're not going into the other one. But hey,
Exactly.
the truck and jam, they shred it
They
totally.
shred.
And
Yeah. No
then,
drum solo after,
yeah.
just
And
they come to an end.
then, like you say, the Garcia just switches, somehow shifts, and he goes back into this bluesy kind of theme, which he had
Correct.
going on all night, and he
It's
rebuilds it.
amazing.
His play, very unique.
And he
You're
does it
not,
for a while. He does
yeah.
that for a little while. It's a 12 and a half minute truck and it's long.
Yep.
Most truckin's 10, 11 minutes back then, 12 and a half, he adds a little. And it's just great. There's 6 minutes of jamming. I looked at it. Really? They stop the vocals, get back truckin', oh, and then woo. And then, Bobby, he sings that last chorus. And then boom, they go right into the jam. It's a good 6 minutes. Amazing, of just amazing straight on jamming.
Yeah,
So if
definitely.
you guys haven't heard this truck, and I urge you got to listen to it. It's amazing.
Yeah, as a standalone, it could be the best trucking.
Oh,
So.
yeah. For a standalone, I'm up there with you. It's easily in the top three, I look at truckins differently. The ones that start a jam suite, like the ones you see in the Europe 72, are amazing, and I love them. There's so many great ones. Standalone trucking, you got the one from 4872 that
Yeah.
re
Yeah.
oh God, that's incredible.
Yeah. 4872
And
makes you laugh. You get
it
the
does.
great
And then the
versions of
next
everything.
night, it's funny, the next not next night, three
Newcastle.
nights later in
Yeah.
Newcastle, they do a truck-in that goes into the other one, but that truck-in's phenomenal too.
Yeah.
So to compare standalone truck-ins with truck-ins that start, these jam suites, it's amazing. It's just another, part of the Grateful Dead and nuances, and as fans 52 years later picking, apart, it's just amazing. It's fun for me to do,
Yeah,
but
and then we
boy.
go to my first favorite Grateful Dead song, the one that really drew me in, "Ramble On Rose."
Oh my God. Same with me, Howie. Ramble on Road is one of the first songs I ever heard that I got.
This version's
It's
beautiful. And
gorgeous.
once again, I'm not familiar with the show coming into it, listening to it for the podcast, and I was just such a great solo, and
Oh,
Jerry's
it's
singing is,
gorgeous. He hits some beautiful notes.
yeah,
So it
because.
just goes along with the theme that every song's a little different. It's everything's not right. Ramble on Rose, they did play once in a while, second set. It's more commonly known as a first set song, but it's in the fifth spot of the second set, where at this point in time they would normally be on one of those jam suites,
Yeah.
where they're going into there's no stopping for an hour. But this
Yeah.
was amazing. It's a standalone tour de force,
And then I think the funniest part of the show comes next, Big River, which in my opinion they didn't jam
Oh.
at all. Just they just missed.
No, the Big River is
Yeah.
actually, see, when they started Big River, Howie, which was 1972, they did a nice little jam after the initial lyrics. There was really no a Keith solo back then. Obviously, Pigpen's not playing with them, at this time, but there's a nice solo, and then they come back, and it's only two rounds of the Jerry solo. But this song took a little time to mature. It
Yeah.
really didn't hit its stride until towards the end of 73.
Yeah, and it
With
just stood
three
out to
shows
me.
in the Winterland at 73 in November, the
Yeah,
9th,
it
10th, and 11th. That's when Big River really opened up.
yeah,
But I'll
that
tell you, listen again to this Big River. I just heard it, and
it
it's
was
great.
twangy.
It's
You want him to go
short.
on. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you want him to, exactly. You're listening to him hit these notes, and you're like, this is incredible. He really has the theme of the song, but they don't extend it. That's the only issue. So yeah, that might be the weakest song of the set, but it still is. I like the fact that they fit it right into the middle of the second set, and then boom, the fireworks. One of the best Casey Jones you will ever hear.
It's
I mean,
phenomenal.
nobody really ranks Casey Jones, but it's nine rounds of the chorus of, driving that train at the end where they're screaming. And Jerry, like you said, his singing's emphatic on this. Great keyboards by
Yeah,
Keith.
that
Oh
really
my
stood
God,
out.
he's
Keith was chopping away
chomping
like
at his
crazy.
keys
Yeah.
like you wouldn't believe. And it adds such a flavor to the song. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is one of the best Casey Jones I've ever heard. Another one like that, folks, if you don't know, is from 10, 1872 from St. Louis. So the same tour. Oh my God, that might be the greatest one ever. So check that one out. But this one is in the same vein. Nine rounds of the singing at the end with you don't think they're ever going to stop. But obviously they do for time constraints, and Keith just hitting those notes on the keys. He's pounding away. Amazing. Really amazing. For such a song, a Casey Jones, a lot of people say, oh, it's Casey Jones, I'll just skip it. No, don't skip
Yeah.
Casey Jones on
Hey,
this version.
I saw 152 shows. I only seen it once, man. So I
Right. I was with
never
you.
overlook
We
it,
saw it at
man.
the Merriweather Post Pavilion,
Yeah.
correct? Yeah, I think
You
they opened up the show. That was my second. I saw my second show ever. They played it
Radio
at the Radio
City.
City.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10-23-80. I'm pretty proud. I think it was the encore. They ended the second set. But yeah, it's such a common song. But you and I have three times we've seen it between our touring history, which is 400 and something
Yeah.
shows, for almost 500 shows between us,
And
So you got to
we never
appreciate it,
saw the Grateful Dead inside a riot, but I think that's what happened here because it's a little bit of a shorter show. This Sugar Magnolia is the
Oh my
beginning of
God.
end.
Yeah, remember Howie, when I texted you, I said, well, that playing in the band, because you mentioned the Not Fade Away. I think that's probably your, focal point of this show. But when I texted you about it, I don't forget the playing in the band and the Crazy Black-Throated Wind and the Sugar Magnolia. This Sugar Magnolia is one of the most underrated and probably in the top five. It's incredible.
Insane. It's the second best one up to this point. The Hoff Hines a couple days
Oh
before,
yeah,
that's the
just
best
5 nights
one.
earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, is blistering. Yeah, that's your
But
favorite.
this one, Garcia, just keeps going. You think, okay,
It's
great, Sugar
beautiful.
Mag, and then he takes it another level, another level. It's
Correct,
smoking, man.
correct.
Yeah.
This song I also just heard, coming back from lunch. Amazing. I had to listen to it again. It's that good.
All
And the
right, hey,
Sunshine Daydream.
we're gonna let the audience listen to it right now, man. We can't
Oh,
go
you
into it
got
like
it.
this. Boom.
This is a must listen. Yeah,
Enjoy.
enjoy.
So there's the smoke and the fire, Sugar Magnolia, and
Unbelievable.
hey, we're not that close to running out of time, but we got about 8 minutes, and that gives us time to wrap it up with the Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away, New Encore. My God, this is incredible. Take
Yeah,
deeper.
it is, Howie. You know, when you asked me, Doug, I'm writing the book and I'm thinking of a, and I thought of Philly. You know, the Spectrum 920-172 is a great Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade
Yeah.
Away. There's a
In
bunch of
more of a
them that I
typical
would have,
fashion, yeah. But this one is
and
just
none of
so
the
out of the
ones.
box, yeah.
Right, none of the ones from Year of 72 would qualify. They're just not long enough. They're hot. But I thought of this one. This might be the best one they've ever done. Not Going Down the Road separately, where it goes, you know, into Saturday Night. I'm talking about the three song suite, Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away. This could be the best one ever. The Not Fade Away, Howie, as you know, and you're a big, you know, trumpeter of this song. It's incredible. Now, the only flaw, if you will, is Jerry breaks his string during
Yeah.
the incredible notes he hits, the frenzy that he hits at about the 4 minute mark, you know, right before four and change. It's
Yeah,
amazing.
that's
He's
one time you can
going
hear the string break.
absolutely
Yeah.
nuts. He's going nuts. And then unfortunately, he breaks a string. But it would have probably ended much sooner if he didn't break a string, because back then, a 5, 6 minute Not Fade Away, you know, was the common. But Bobby picks up the slack and he starts hitting, these chords and starts playing this really nice mellow theme that's gorgeous. It really is. It goes on for almost 4 minutes. And then Jerry hops back in when they after they fix his string. It's great. I'll tell you, it's great.
It
There's
is
something about it.
very
I
cool, man.
listened.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, I listened to it the other last night, in fact, with my son, because I wanted him to hear it, and he was getting it. He was like bopping along to the music, and he's not a deadhead. He likes good rock and roll, but he got it, So you could turn obviously non-deadheads onto this, and I'll tell you, don't. It's just again, the notes that Jerry hits are so distinct, unique, so perfectly in time and place with this show. The ferocious rock and roll, playing that they're doing in this show, not going for the slow dissonance, the really jammed out songs and longer songs. They're really hitting the right in your face rock and roll. And that, and
I
this
really
stuff paid
think there
away.
was some kind of time thing, like they had to finish at a certain point or
It's
something.
possible,
It
right?
seemed
Because it's
like it to
only
me.
about 2 hours. It's under 2.5 hours in total, this
And no
show.
encore.
Right, no encore. So there might have been something they could have started late, and they only had till say 11:30, whatever it might be. But they poured their heart like into every song. And I'll tell you listen back to this Not Fade Away, it's a must hear. It's just, oh man.
And the first
And
part of the
then,
Not Fade Away might be the worst part of this trio, because this trio is nuts, man.
oh
So
my God, the
carry
going
on.
down the road, Howie. I know when I first heard it, I couldn't believe it. I listened to it again. It is amazing. It's in the top five easily, top three. If you guys don't know some great going down the roads, listen to the one. Obviously, people do know 822-72 is from Berkeley. That one people say might be the best, but this one is up there. And then 2 nights later, what I consider possibly, if not, I think it's the best from San Antonio. They do a Sugar Magnolia going down the road Saturday night. So obviously it's not within the framework of the Not Fade Away going down, Not Fade Away, but that going down the road 2 nights later
Wow.
is gonna, and this one is just as good. So they really hit their peak with these going down the roads in the in this Texas tour. Because the one from Hot Fines Pavilion
It's
on
great.
11/19 is phenomenal also. It just amazes me. There's some, it's pure rock and roll. Jerry just showing off, it's showing off his,
Hey, let's
virtuoso ability,
right now we're gonna let Jerry show off that jam. Let's hear that one. This is one of the best dig.
Yeah, don't make sure your heart medicine is nearby, folks.
There you go, man. Going
Wow.
down the road, November, Texas. You can't beat it. And
That's incredible. And I
This
love the fact, Howie, they go back into Not Fade Away real slow. Again, with that
Oh,
bluesy,
he Jerry's
theme that
showing
we
off,
talked
man.
about.
Your
It's
favorite
so slow.
description, man. Jerry's showing off.
Oh
He's a
man, that going
show-off,
down the road,
man.
he's
He's the
showing off. I don't
guy.
know who's in attendance, but he's showing off. It's ridiculous. You could turn somebody on to, they'd be, holy fuck, I've never heard guitar like this in my life. Those quick picking notes and then the fan at the end. It reminds me of Philly, but it's better. The Spectrum one is great. 92172 was one of the first ones where I really laughed when I heard it. This one, I was cracking up. I'm listening to it, I'm laughing.
The
I said,
segues are longer
Jack, my
here,
son,
man.
listen to this. And sure enough, he's hitting those notes. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Hey, so,
Amazes me every time.
and then it slows down for them to go back to the singing. But just
Correct.
on your thoughts, like the best stuff, like November 71 when Keith first joined the band, those were
Oh, they're great.
ridiculous, man. And
They're
then
great.
it went into Europe 72, wasn't as hot. It was
Exactly, because
hot,
they
but not
played all
crazy.
these jam suites for an hour and they were probably tired and time constraints too. So the Not Fade Away is going down the road, Not Fade Away
It's a
became a little
miracle
more
that they play that at
concise.
all. Not to,
Right. They were hot, but they were concise. They didn't extend. This one, he extends. It's amazing. And at the end, the coda going down the road, feel it when Donna joins in. They did it five times. I love it. The usual, the norm is four. They did an extra. If you listen to this going down the road, you can tell they were bad. But Jerry belts out, going down the road. It's great. They did that in Bickershaw too.
He's
To
showing
me,
off
that's
again.
just a sign where they knew they just hit it out of the park, So I watch for that, five rounds of that, the singing at the end. And then again, going back to the Not Fade Away, Howie is just perfect. Nice and bluesy. They take their time. They don't rush into it. You listen to the ones again from Europe 72, they kind of rush back, which is okay. Pigpen is singing along with Bobby. This one, they don't even start singing, the lyrics to the Not Fade, Our Love Will Not Fade Away, 2, 3 minutes in to the
More,
reprise.
yeah,
Amazing.
at least three, man. It
Yeah,
was
at least three. It,
incredible.
they do this great jamming, bluesy jamming. Jerry's hanging on every note. It's incredible.
And
And
that,
then when Bobby's singing the final, I love Not Fade Away, Not Fade Away. And then Jerry's just following him with these incredible notes. Again, a different sounding like guitar from what he had been playing earlier. It's amazing how he does that. It's just
It's
incredible.
well, once the singing starts from that point forward, it's still one of the best. Just Garcia's going totally going off, man. It's like
He's going
he's
off.
taking
Yeah,
over.
yeah.
Usually Bobby, I mean, he's screaming, he usually commands everything at that point, but this Jerry's like not having none of it, man. He's like
Exactly. He's not
he's
sharing
just
the stage. And it amazed me, Howie, there was no need for an encore. If there was an
Oh
encore, it would have been
I would have walked out.
would have been
Encore,
kind
get out of
of,
here, stop playing.
what's the word I'm looking for? It would have been, after the fact, whatever, would have been unnecessary. It would
Ostentatious.
have been, oh, yeah, the word, it's just you didn't need it because they poured their hearts out and you ended. And that reminds me the same thing they did in Amsterdam, which I love that show from 5/10/72. They also
Much
ended the show
longer, yeah, but yeah,
with
they
a
really
not, yeah,
dig into
that's a
that,
much longer show. Yeah, in Europe they had their time. So they ended it with a Not Fade Away going down the road, Not Fade Away with no encore. And I said to myself, perfect, you don't need an encore. It would have been a waste of time, Sure, there's great songs they could have came out with, but it was unnecessary. It just would have been, that word I'm looking for, counterproductive. There you go.
Hey, did you ever see the movie Glengarry Glen Ross?
No, I never even heard of it.
It's Al Pacino's in it and Alex Baldwin, but there's a funny point where they talk about the Glengarry leads, and that's the way I feel about these Not Fade Aways from 71 or late 72. They're just
Oh my
a
God.
cut above the rest. You die for these leads.
Oh, of
It's
course, of
like
course.
Alex Baldwin comes out and he's like, "I got the Glengarry leads, but they're not for you." It's like they're elite.
Well,
They're these elite leads, and these salesmen are struggling and starving, man. But these Not Fade Aways that we're talking about from late 71 and late 72, they're just they make the other ones almost look bad. The other ones are
I
great,
know
but
what you
it's
mean.
yeah, because they.
Especially on Going Down the Road, Jerry didn't really start hitting those quick picking notes that, again, listen to 8/22/72, listen to this.
Hey, so this is where my Zoom call with Doug came to an end. But we're definitely making progress because we made it through the whole show this time. So, yeah, pretty good, pretty cool. Great to have Doug back on the podcast, bringing his enthusiasm and deep knowledge of the Grateful Dead. And Yeah, so we finish up with that Not Fade Away, going down the road. Not Fade Away, definitely one of the best of all time. Hang in. The outro today is going to be the Not Fade Away reprise, and the one from this show is probably the best one I've ever heard. But yeah, getting back to the segment of Not Fade Away, going down the road, Not Fade Away. If I had to put a top three, I'd probably go Columbus, which is from Dick's Picks, Volume 2, October 31st, 1971. That's a long time been my favorite. Just the segues in that are incredible. Maybe the best Not Fade Away opening on that one. And then it was a tough call between two and three. I might have to go with Boulder, Folsom Field, 9372. The number two spot, just slightly ahead of Dallas. I did an episode about a month or two ago on the Folsom Field show. Just an amazing Not Fade Away, going down the road, Not Fade Away. And each segment of that is over 7 minutes, but not 8 minutes. It's very obviously very symmetrical. Another brilliant performance, this one from Dallas that we just talked about. Incredible. And there's something about the ones at the end of 71, when Keith first joined the band that particular month, besides the Columbus one from Halloween, good one from Taft, also in Ohio, the day before October 30th. You got the Harding Theater, November 7th, great version. Austin, November 15th. I just heard that on the Grateful Dead channel. That's, I think, David Lemieux's favorite. Hard to argue with that one. Another spectacular version from this time period. I think it's also, there's another great one from UCLA. It might be November 20th. So for whatever reason, they were extending and really getting to every jam, every part of the Not Fade Away, going down the road, Not Fade Away. I mean, there's so many other excellent versions, but the ones from this particular period, they extended every segue. It really makes them different. Like I mentioned earlier, a little bit elite compared to the other ones. Whenever I hear another Not Fade Away going down the road, like from Europe 72 or whenever the time period, I always kind of crave these versions. And they had a couple from late 72 where they kind of re-caught that magic, where they just jammed everything to the utmost. And Not Fade Away going down the road, Not Fade Away, one of the tougher combos to play. And really extend every jam. Like in Scarlet Fire, I think it's a lot easier for, I'm not a musician. I play a little piano. I pretend like I'm a musician at times. But I just think that this is one of the tougher combinations, and that's why the Grateful Dead stopped doing it on a regular basis, just to really build these segues and to go from one to the other and to, you know, really get into every single jam, like they do on a Scarlet Fire or a Cat Rider. The transitions are a little tricky and difficult, especially if you're trying to extend them. So that's why I really love these standout versions. So another great show we're looking at here. Not as long, but definitely it's got the power, man. That Sugar Mag, Not Fade Away, going down the road, Not Fade Away. You can't end the show on a more rocking note than that. Just all top-notch, close to best-ever versions. And so, just a heads up. Next week, no Deadology podcast. I'm going to be on vacation, going to Florida for the week. Don't want to travel with computers and all the necessary equipment for this, but we'll definitely be back the following week. Probably looking at some Jerry Garcia Band, maybe Stony Brook. A great show I seen at the anniversary that's coming up December 4th. Small Jim, another one of these unique Jerry Garcia Band shows, and a lot of people request and ask for the Jerry Garcia Band, so this seems like a perfect show to do. My friend David Davis just came out with a book. We're going to get him on the show. It's either going to be that week or the week after. Name of the book, I highly recommend it, The Economic History of the Grateful Dead. And when we get him on the show, we'll get into the book in more detail. Also, I got to read it when I'm on vacation. I'll be seeing Doug in Florida, too. I'll be able to go out and grab dinner with him one night. Going to see Crazy Fingers down at a bar down there, the Funky Biscuit. It's going to be a nice little getaway week for me. Thanksgiving, happy holidays, everybody. Yep, that wraps up this version of the Deadology podcast. Thanks for listening. My website, tangledupintunes.com. And until we meet again in December, peace out. But definitely dig this last jam. 5 minutes, perhaps the best Not Fade Away reprise you're ever going to hear. Enjoy.
Thank you. folks, and see you later.